Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Terry. Well, I'll tell you what. Bark Radio listeners, we have an amazing human being on the line with us today. We're going to do a little conversation with
Eric Bellows from Pack Ethic Rescue. Welcome, Eric.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, Eric, I'll tell you what. I've been cruising your website. Terry has been as well, and we're just fascinated by the work that you're doing with rescue and rehabilitation. First, can you tell our listeners the name of your organization and give them a brief idea of what you're doing up there?
Yeah, the name of the organization is Pack Ethic Rescue, all of our training is based off of pack mentality. So we run a 25-acre sanctuary in upstate New York where we bring all the rescue dogs into our home. It's a home-based sanctuary. We bring the dogs into the home. We want to make sure that the dogs feel safe and comfortable and that they don't have any of the aggressions or any of the past life that sticks with them. And we rehabilitate them no matter how long it takes.
That's awesome. I know that one of the things on your website that caught my attention was looking through just the pack pictures and the energy that's being given out by those pictures. This is a calm group of dogs, and it's a mix. There's Rotties and big bully breeds and little dogs, and, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is all dogs are born into a pack. So what we as humans have created is the stigma that dogs can't be together, and especially the bully breeds, which is very wrong. A lot of the times, you just need to be the proper pack leader for them. We don't believe in any of the dominant training, nothing like that. A lot of our training is just us simulating a pack leader, whereas if we exercise the dogs all day long, everything is done as a pack. They eat together, they sleep together, and we exercise them together. When we're exercising them, and if any uncomfortable situations come up, that's when we step in right away. We make sure that everybody comes back down to the calm energy that we like. And that's the thing, is a lot of times you don't have to touch these animals. When dogs are getting uncomfortable, it could be, one of the energy levels has rocketed a little bit, and it's kind of high. So what we do is we can just step in. You ask them to sit. A lot of the times they want to follow. So if you offer them the right energy and the right presence, then you have no problem at all getting them to all sit down calmly, and then that brings everybody back down because you're controlling the situation.
I love that. That's such a great positive intervention, Eric. I absolutely love just that process. And it works with the dogs that I work with. If you can just get them focused, refocus on you, and make it clear what you want.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the times what I try to tell people is the easiest way to be around dogs is, for one, you got to make sure, you really got to look into yourself, especially when you're dealing with a pack of dogs. You can't carry around any self, anything. You really got to be pure with yourself in order to project that positive energy with the rest of the dogs. But the biggest thing is you can project what you want simply by painting a picture basically in your mind and go work towards it. A lot of the people that come up for visits, or if they want to, I love bringing people up and bringing them into the pack because there's nothing else like it. So when they come up, I read the people, and if they're a little uncomfortable, then I try telling them, paint a picture of you being at the beach, nice and relaxed, and keep that picture in your mind anytime you get uncomfortable, and the dogs will follow that comfortable energy because they're comfortable. They don't want stress. They don't want insecurity, and that's the biggest thing. Especially with the power breeds, they love to just hang out, play, and be dogs. And when you've got humans in front of them that are enjoying that pack mentality, then there's nothing else like it. And there's so much that you can teach in a pack. A lot of times we can get dogs that first come in, and they can be dogs that have been severely abused. The best thing is when they come in and they're in the corner, because it's a new situation, everything. But then all the rest of the dogs, when we walk into the room, they come running up and they sit around us. And that dog gets drawn in, and that's the beginning. When they get drawn in, you know that you've got the first step of rehabilitating them into to trusting again. And that's basically what it's all about is first comes their safety of mind, and then everything after that is secondary. The obedience training comes so much easier when you got a dog that totally trusts you, that's totally comfortable, and it's really amazing.
I just I love the part about your pack welcoming a new member and starting that process of healing.
Yep.
I love it. And looking at the pictures, it looks like, you know, there's somebody out at play, and there's pictures. It looks to me, it looks like you're doing a pack walk with them. Everybody's just kind of walking along, and you know, with 25 acres, it's awesome. You have the opportunity to really, you know, build that relationship just in the play and the daily activities of moving around. It's cool.
Yeah, that's right. Because what we do is, again, when we as humans implement ourselves as the pack leaders, then one of the best things to do is a pack walk. No leashes, though. We go out on the 25 acres, and we have five fenced-in yards. But then outside of that, then we have it's just basically natural boundaries. So one of the things that I like doing, especially when we have some new dogs, we will go out on a pack walk, and we'll walk the perimeter of the 25 acres. And it's hilarious how it blows their mind pretty much when they see the freedom and the energy of everybody just doing that. It's one specific purpose, which is kind of like, you know, walking our boundaries or walking our territory, so to speak. Having the 25 acres where we have it, there's no outside influence. So when we bring the dogs up, a lot of them come from New York City, where it's the hustle and bustle of the city, you know, and really never have had that peace, that sanctity of just being a dog, just being, you know, with a human that has specific things that you want to accomplish throughout the day. So the pack walk is big. We love doing that. We do it at least twice a day. And then inside the yards, that's where the fun is. That's where we play ball, you know, frisbee, and, you know, we do some agility and work and stuff like that. We want to find a purpose for the dogs. After we get them feeling good, we want to give them a job, basically, because that's most of the power breeds, or their background is job-based. So what we try to do is find, and it could be a silly job, like when we go on packs, if you got one dog that's really excited and they kind of stir things up, you can slap a backpack on them, and, you know, there you go. Their job is to carry the water for the rest of the pack. And something as simple as that, giving that dog that purpose of, you know, carrying something for you, for others, it's amazing what you can accomplish with that. I've had aggressive dogs come in, and we've given them something as simple. I've had aggressive dogs come in, and you put the backpack on them, and it totally changes their mindset, where they can be in with the other dogs. And whenever they seem to be getting uncomfortable or triggers coming on, then we make a move. And when they move, they feel the weight, and then they're like, oh, you know, I'm doing something.
Whoops, I forgot.
Exactly. I'm working, you know.
That's cool. I mean, it is just amazing what a simple task like that, how that energy changes. I've done it. I've used it with my dogs as well. I've got an Australian Coolie and a Bully Kettle Dog mix, and you put the pack on, and you can see the demeanor change instantaneously. Now I'm working.
Yep, definitely. Yep. Another you know, simple job to give others is, like, I have a Chewy. She's one of my red nose. We rescued her from down south. She was actually a pit fighter. She's one of my top girls. For socializing and for first introductions, I use her a lot, because I can tell a lot of the times whether the dog's insecure or dominant just by her actions. And that job to her means the world, because she went from, you know, humans forcing her to fight to a human that uses her to introduce dogs and to get dogs to play. And she's amazing. Her story is just, you know, phenomenal in my eyes, because of the background that she came in. And here you have her. She's in with Jack Russells, with, you know, Dachshunds, all the way up to Rottweilers. And she's never been a problem with me. In the beginning, for the first 6 months, you know, I really had to keep an eye on her. But once you got that initial, you had to take away everything that was taught to her. And basically, one of my beliefs is, depending on how much they went through, you know, we don't really like to push here. So if we know that a dog, you know, comes to us and they're, you know, a year old, then basically in our minds, we've got to take away that year of bad stuff happening to them. And doesn't mean that it's going to take a year to rehabilitate, but you don't want to push, you know, and be like, oh, in 2 weeks I want this dog to be ready for adoption. That's one of the biggest things is, since it's in our home, we never push on them. You know, we want them to come out in their own way. We want to make sure that they're ready to come out, instead of we as humans being like, I want you to do this right now. It's a little bit different when you're dealing with the power breeds and the rehabilitation part. A lot of times if you push on them too much, then you break the trust. And that's what we never want to do with these dogs. We always want to make sure that everything that we have to offer, they are ready for that. So.
Well, you're doing an incredible job. And I'll tell you what, looking at the pictures on your site, I so want to come up and meet the pack and just hang with them. It looks like it would be a blast.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love doing. We've actually had a lot of people call me that are afraid of the power breeds, but just because of the pictures and the videos that they see of the pack getting along, they wanted to come up to help for us to help them get over their fears. And I tell you, sometimes it's amazing how much fear people have for these dogs. I've had, just as an example, I had one woman come up. You know, she told me, "I'm deathly afraid of dogs." Well, I have a lot of people tell me that, but she really was. As soon as she got out of the car, I only had three of them out, and she went white as a ghost. And it was funny because I told her to paint that picture. You know, you're safe with me. Nothing's going to happen. Well, by 5 minutes later, she was on my couch with, you know, five or seven of the pitties laying on her lap.
Oh, you go, Eric. You don't just rehabilitate dogs. You rehabilitate people.
Yeah, well, my biggest thing is I do want people to understand that, you know, they're not what you see in the press. They're not what people have labeled them as. And they're not killers. They don't like violence. They don't like, you know, bloodshed. And that's the biggest thing. And I love it when people come in like that and you know, they give me the examples of the stories that they heard and everything, and then they come in here and they see these guys, and, you know, my dogs will lick you to death, you know, and that's what they get to enjoy, is that part of it. They're just like any normal dog. So.
Well, they are. Dogs are dogs are dogs, you know, and just the different pieces of your website. I'm going to tell you what, before we started the interview, I made the mistake of going to the rescue page, and I had to stop crying before we could start the interview, because just the pictures of these sweet, sweet dogs, the way they came to you, but then the joy of how they left you. I mean,
yep.
Just amazing stories. This one little dog, Splinter.
Yes.
Oh, so sad looking, just in terrible shape, and what a gorgeous dog.
Yeah,
he turned out to be.
Yeah, he's in a forever home now. He took about 8 months. And the 8 months, it wasn't that he had behavioral issues. The 8 months took us to rehabilitate his physical issues.
Yeah.
I mean, he was beaten. So when he first came, he had a lot of injuries to his body that we took the time to just heal. It took him a little while to learn how to walk again. He did injure his back, so that his hind end, when he first came, it was really hard for him to get around. And plus he had mange on top of it. So we, we just spent those months of getting him physically rehabilitated, and he's in a beautiful home now. And that's what it's all about. A rescue isn't a rescue until you find him a forever home. And that's always what I try to tell people, is when you want to step up for a dog, that's great, you know. But make sure that you follow through with it. You know, if you're not going to keep him, then you do have to commit to finding that dog a forever home. And that's one of the best things about having the pack. He went to another home with another dog, and they love each other, and you know, that's the final, that's what it's all about right there, that finale.
Yep, that's your payback.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Now, what if someone's interested in adopting one of your dogs? What do they need to do?
If you go to the website, it's packethic.com. We have an application on there. We'll deliver dogs everywhere. I've adopted dogs out all the way to California. And a lot of times, if I can't make it down there, I do have connections where other rescues that I trust, they can do the home visit, and I'll usually send the dogs to them. But if it's closer, if I can drive, even if it's, you know, 20 hours, then I love to be the one to bring the dogs into the home. So no matter where you are, we adopt out everywhere. So fill out the application and put the dog that you're interested on there, and we'll definitely see what we can do.
Very cool. Well, Eric, we appreciate you joining us today. This has been phenomenal, and we'd like to make you a regular on our show, and maybe once or twice a year we'll catch up with you and what's going on with the rescue.
Oh, definitely. I'd love that. Thank you very much.
All right, cool. Well, go ahead and give your information, your website information, one more time for our listeners.
It's www.packethic.com.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.